If you're listening to this podcast, it means you're ready. No, more than ready to have a major breakthrough in your restaurant. You're hungry for change and you're hungry for growth. That's why you're feeding your mind right now with all of this valuable information. But to drive those changes, you need to be really smart about what you're doing and to make the right choices before you take action. You need help from someone who's been there, someone to coach you through it, even just someone to help you look at your restaurant differently. That's what restaurant coaching is designed to do. Working with a professional coach will grow your business exponentially. Donald Burns, the restaurant coach, is offering a free one-on-one business strategy session for listeners of this podcast. That's right, a one-on-one session with the restaurant coach himself, a $500 value. It's completely free, no strings attached. Just go to therestaurantcoach.com to book your session today.
Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. Hey, first off, I want to announce some exciting news. My first book, Your Restaurant Sucks, is going to be available on Audible very soon as an audiobook. Yes, I know, it's taken a while to get here, and I'm very excited to finally be able to get that out there. Also, my third book and the audiobook version for Your Restaurant Culture Sucks will both be released in October. And I also have my 2-day restaurant owner bootcamp coming up. I'll put a link in the show notes for details on how you can attend. And last but not least, I'm holding my 3-day Restaurant Success Summit this October 25th, 26th, 27th in Scottsdale with 15 sessions. And I'm bringing in 4 epic experts to show you how to set your restaurant for massive, massive success. Now, speaking about culture, are you having a hard time finding people to work with you? If so, you're not alone. I honestly think that the restaurant industry has done this to ourselves by creating a work environment that is plagued as pretty much a bad joke. So how do we overcome this stigma? By taking control of our culture and showing the world that your restaurant is different. Now in this episode, I'm going to let you sit in on a training session I did for my Facebook group called the Restaurant Coach Nation. So let's see how you can create a culture that attracts top talent. Today, I want to talk about how to hire your A team, here's the catch, in just 90 days. If that sounds like it's too good to be true, good. Because I've done it with my own restaurants and I've shown thousands of other restaurants how to do it also. Here's what you have to have. You have to have an open mind and be willing to ask yourself some uncomfortable questions. So let's jump right in. I don't know about you, but what happened to the labor market? You know, before COVID-19, you could not find staff as the market was oversaturated with too many restaurants. But now, thanks to COVID-19, that problem of having too many restaurants is quickly being solved. But it also has led to a new problem. People are making more money right now in unemployment than they would at a restaurant. So what do we do? There's always going to be a constant desire to find the best people for your restaurant. It's never going to change. The good news is that as the market changes, there's going to be more kind of A players available. The bad news is, will you be able to attract and retain those A players? Now, you've probably heard the phrase, it's pretty familiar, you know, there's a war for talent. I actually have always thought that what we really have is a war with talent. We can't take on an adversarial role between us, you know, the restaurant operators, and them, the employees. If you think you're at war, I hate to tell you, but that's what you get. You get that mindset. And when you're stuck in that mindset, that's exactly what kind of that's what happens in your operation. So your attitude about hiring is your number one culprit. If you want to attract better talent, you have to be a better leader. So again, if this is your first time, if you missed my presentation the other day, if you're the first time hearing me give a presentation, I'm Donald Burns, the restaurant coach. For the last 4 decades, I've worked in this industry as a restaurant owner, executive chef with Wolfgang Puck, and a consultant. And for the last 11 years, I've been a coach to over 2,000 independent restaurants. And I don't say that to impress you. I say that to impress upon you when you work in the industry for as long as I have, for almost 40 years, and with as many restaurants as I've seen, you tend to see patterns. There are patterns to success and there are patterns to failure. I want you to avoid the failure. Okay, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, I want you to have some fun. Number two, take notes. Please take some notes. Take a lot of notes. Take as many notes as you want. You should fill up a damn notebook by the end of this 3-day conference. You should be a full Conquer Online Restaurant Summit notebook full of stuff. Should be that great. And then number three, take action. If you don't apply what you've learned, you really haven't learned anything. Remember that knowledge is not power. Application of knowledge is power. And every once in a while during my presentation, you're going to hear me say the words, hashtag WTSD. What does that mean? Pretty straightforward. It means write this shit down. Like I always, you know, and we call those clues. I'm just going to come out and say, hey, hashtag WTSD, write this shit down. Now, before I share the secret on how to hire your A team in just 90 days, we have to have a little heart to heart, or what I like to call is a truth bomb. Here it is. A-level talent does not want to work for a C-level culture. Water truly seeks its own level. When restaurant owners complain to me that there's no good talent out there, I usually reply with a statement, and this might upset some people, maybe you're not the kind of restaurant that is attracting top talent. Remember this, the truth will set you free, but first, it will indeed piss you off. Just remember that. If you want better talent, you have to create a better culture. Culture is a magnet. And if you do not create a better culture, I hate to tell you this, this is one of those, again, truth bombs, you're screwed. And not in the good, nice way you want. It's gonna be pretty brutal. So let's talk about culture because it's so important. I wanna talk about the five stages of restaurant culture. The five stages of restaurant culture. Get out your notepads, take some notes because this stuff is critical to understanding where you are now, where you want to be, and then you can make an action plan to get there. But you got to know where you are. I call this thing the restaurant freedom pyramid. Now, at the bottom of this pyramid are the bad restaurants or the struggling. Now, these restaurants usually make up 20% of the market. Now, at every level, I look at three components. I look at profits. I look at the number of hours the owner works in the business, and I look at their culture. Struggling restaurants lose money or break even most months. And let's be clear that breaking even should never be a business goal. The owners work usually 80 plus hours a week in their business doing work that they feel justifies it. You know, but here's the thing, it's hard to do better when you don't know better. The next level up is what I call the good restaurants. And basically they're surviving. Now this is around 60% of any market and they make a small profit. If they're lucky, you know, usually the national average 0 to 6%. And the owner usually works around 60 to 80 hours a week. At this stage, I really call this stage, the struggling stage, I call it quicksand. And what do I mean? I'll give you an example. You're working in your restaurant and you think everything's going fine. And then one thing goes wrong and then another and another and another. And you fight back by throwing more hours into your restaurant. And the more you fight back using the only tool that you know is working more, the more you sink until you can't breathe. You can't move. You can't think clearly because you're in over your head, just like in quicksand. Let's get you out of that phase if you're there now. The next level up is what I call great or the thriving restaurants. This is around 15% of any market. Here they make a decent profit and the owners usually work 40 to 50 hours a week. The danger here is that you think you've made it. So you take your foot off the accelerator and you kind of rest on your achievements. The last thing you ever want to do is take your foot off the accelerator in an ultra competitive market like the restaurant industry. Complacency kills all brand. Hashtag WTSD, write that down. Complacency kills all brands. Remember that success is never owned, it's rented, and rent is due every damn day. You can't get away from it. And the next level up is what I call that rare space that only 4.5% restaurants ever reach. And it's for those restaurants that I like to call outstanding. They're the restaurants that kind of drive their market. They make a great profit, 15% or higher, and the owner works around 40 hours or less. Here is where you finally, you run your restaurant and it doesn't run you anymore. You focus on developing your team more than ever. And leadership truly flows down like a mighty river. I'm a big believer that culture flows down, doesn't flow up. At this level, culture really flows down and leadership is the example. Now there's a fifth level. You can probably see that little bitty pyramid at the very, very top, a little orange one. Only 0.5% will ever reach it. It's called legendary. And they don't compete, they dominate. Other brands want to partner with them and they actually shift the trends and change the industries. Think of places like In-N-Out Burger, Chick-fil-A, French Laundry, Commander's Palace. These are places, Spago, you know, Wolfgang Puck. These are places that are iconic, that people seek out, that people want to imitate. Everyone wants to knock off the next, you know, be the next In-N-Out Burger. Everyone wants to be the next Chick-fil-A. It's hard because their culture is so incredible. It's hard to replicate culture. You can replicate everything else in a restaurant. You can get identical ingredients. You can hire from the same labor pool. Culture is the brand differential. Culture is what makes and breaks restaurants. I'm telling you right now. It is the one thing that separates the good from the great from outstanding is their culture. So let's break down that culture pyramid a little bit farther. And it would go a little bit like this. And we start from the top, from the bottom to the top. Now at that bottom, that, you know, bad restaurant, that really kind of like drowning, that they have basically a negative culture. Negativity is toxic cultures, they kill the restaurant industry. This is where you basically feel like it's the Wild West. The team runs the show. The owners don't do anything. The managers hide in the office because they're afraid. They're afraid of the team. The team basically is in, what's that old saying? It's the dog wagging the tail. You don't want to do that. Negativity and toxic cultures are the worst thing. And unfortunately, the majority of restaurants out there have a negativity or a toxic culture. The next one up is what we get, a training culture. Training culture is where we start doing some training. We start trying to get some control of our restaurant and we start doing some training. But here's the downside. We only used to do the training at the beginning when they get hired, when they first get onboarded. And sadly, we probably do what I call the tribal method. Hey, follow Joe around for 3 days, do what he does, and then your turn loose. We have to get out of this kind of, you know, having somebody follow around somebody for a couple of days and think that they're trained properly. Training cultures don't ever really get traction because we only train people at the very beginning. We don't have constant, never-ending improvement in training. That's the downfall of a training culture. And the next one up is where you want to aim for. If you're at the first two, again, you want to make it up to one level at a time. You can't shoot right to the top, unfortunately. I wish you could, but you can't, unfortunately. Cultures have to evolve and grow and develop. So after training culture, next one up is what we call a learning culture. Learning culture is where we are constantly, constantly training, always improving, always getting better. I'm always holding sessions. I'm bringing in speakers. I'm getting people on workshops. I'm letting people have access to the Conquer Online Summit so they can learn. I'm having my management team have weekly discussions. We got book clubs going. We got videos I'm sharing with them. I'm sharing articles. I'm sharing books. I'm sharing blog posts. I'm doing whatever I can to get them excited about becoming a better person. I have a saying, I say it all the time, restaurants get better when the people in them become better people. If you want to develop a learning culture, you have to develop your people to the point where they feel that you have a vested interest in their growth. They want to know that you care. Another part about learning cultures, and again, hashtag, write this shit down. Do not train your team until they get it right. Train your team until they cannot get it wrong. I'll repeat that again. Do not train your team until they get it right. Train your team until they cannot get it wrong. That's a training culture. That's a learning culture. I mean, a learning culture, you are constantly, constantly learning until they don't know any other way. The only way they do it is the way you tell them. And the only way they do that is by constant training and learning. You have to get to that point. Next one up is what we call a leadership culture. Here, definitely, people start looking out for the brand and they start looking out for the team. They focus at the lower levels. I hate to say they kind of focus at the bottom level, negative culture. They're focused on just product. The menu is everything to them. That's what they focus on. That's all they know. They don't know any better. At the training culture level, they start thinking about, you know, putting some systems in place, doing some training, stuff like that. But at the leadership level, they really start focusing on the team experience, not the guest experience. They focus more on the team experience because they understand that there's a correlation between the quality of the team experience and the quality of the guest experience. If I focus on the team experience, it will create an outstanding guest experience. But so many times we kind of forget about that and we just say, focus on the guest experience, focus on the guest experience. No, do not bypass the team experience. That's where this leadership culture comes in. You are constantly learning and developing yourself as a leader. And then the final one, what we call the admired culture. That's what those at top level, the legendary restaurants, they're admired. People want to join them. Now, there are some restaurants, and I've had some people in my mastermind group bring this up. There are some restaurants in that admired level that you think you think they would have an admired culture. Just because they're at the top, like they have a well-known chef, great name, big, huge profile chef, does not mean that they have a great culture. Just because someone's made it to the top doesn't mean that they stepped on a lot of people to get there and that they keep stepping on people. Admired cultures are very, very specific that they have a place that everyone loves to work at. Think of cultures like Apple. Think of cultures like Zappos. Think of places like that that just are known, especially Zappos. They are just known for their outstanding culture. Here's an honest to God truth. It's actually easier, it's easier to get into Harvard than it is to get a job at Zappos. Isn't that crazy? You have a better chance of getting in at Harvard than you do getting a job at Zappos because they are so picky about their culture. Who they let in is everything. If you don't pass their kind of culture test, you are not getting into work there. They're very specific about who they allow in. So at that negative level, again, your team runs you and they run the restaurant. At the training culture, you start getting a little control and you start to run the restaurant a little bit. At the learning culture, you actually run the restaurant. Now you're in control. But at the leadership level, your team runs the restaurant. And at the very top, people seek to work with your brand. Again, don't mistake being famous or having a high profile name with having a great culture. We all know there's a lot of very, very high profile chefs, great names you would know in a heartbeat, terrible cultures, toxic cultures. You know, Eric Rupert is one of those chefs that realized early on that he was creating a toxic culture and he set about changing that. There are some chefs that are realizing that, you know, the old way, the way we used to do things, you know, break them down, build them up, doesn't work anymore. We have to develop new ways of number one, approaching our team, and also looking at ourselves. And how do we make a better culture for our restaurants? That's the number one thing I want to talk about. So let's go right into, without further ado, allow me to share with you the 5-step program for creating an A team. Here's some crazy stats, and I think it's important that we look at this thing. We first have to admit that turnover is a real profit killer in our restaurants. Just look at these stats. The average restaurant turnover is 73%. The average cost to replace an hourly team member, $5,864. So what does that mean? A restaurant with 100 employees and has the average turnover could be losing over $400,000 a year. And here's the thing, you don't even notice it. Because it's a lot of little things, productivity loss, uniforms, lost time. I mean, there's so many little things that add up to that turnover cost. And this actually is a study by Cornell. You can actually Google it and look at Cornell Hospitality or Cornell University School of Hospitality. What's the average cost to replace an employee? And they will actually break it down for you. It's really fascinating. And there's so many little costs that you don't understand that are sucking the life out of your P&L, sucking the life out of your profits. And turnover is one of them. So step number one, and it's a tough one. Are you ready for it? Sit down if you're not. admit that you might suck as a leader. I hate to tell you this. This stuff's kind of brutal. But you need to admit that you might suck. And if that pisses you off, again, good. Because sometimes being a little pissed off is the one thing you need to create change. Now, if you do suck as a leader, there's three reasons why. And I always say awareness precedes choice, choice precedes change. If you're aware of it, now you can make some different choices. You make some different choices, you make some changes. Number one, you don't have core values. I mean, who are you? I mean, what do you stand for? What are the things that drive you? Number two, you're just an asshole. No one wants to work for you. And number three, you have double standards for the team. What do I mean by that? You have favorites. You have certain people in the team that you allow to get away with stuff, but other people, no. You cannot have double standards if you want to have an A team. Everyone has to be accountable to the same standards. I cannot let, you know, Darren walk in 20 minutes late and say, hey, man, how's it going? You know, and be like we're bros. And then, you know, Cynthia comes in 5 minutes late and I'm writing her up for being late. You have to have the same standards for everybody. And here's the other thing. You have to have the same standards for yourself. You have to be the example of the standards. No one wants to follow a hypocrite. Your actions tell the team exactly who you are. Words are cheap. Actions mean everything. Who you tell me you are, I'd rather wait and see who you really are. And that's what the biggest thing your team's doing. They don't care. They give no shits about what you say you're going to do. They want to see you do it. Okay. And let's talk about a little bit about core values. Core values, I'm telling you, I cannot emphasize enough that having a solid set of core values is everything. All of my coaching clients, all my restaurant mastermind members create a core values and mission card just like you see here. Anytime they have a conversation with a team member, anytime they have a meeting, anytime they do an interview, this card is always pulled out and referred to. You have to have solid core values in a mission statement. This is an easy one to do. And don't go crazy. You don't want 20 core values that you can't live up to. I recommend to my clients and my mastermind groups 5, 6, maybe max. But here's the thing. They have to be able to memorize them. If I walk into your team right now, if I walked into your restaurant right now, and I asked anybody on your team, hey, what are your core values? How many people honestly could tell me that they're confident that someone on their team could tell me all their core values or tell me what their mission statement is? When you make it simple like this, look at these cards. It's simple. It's easy to remember. I can go to any of these restaurants that are my clients or my mastermind group, and I can walk up with confidence to anybody on their team and ask them, what are your core values? Boom, 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 boom. They'll knock them off. What are your mission? Boom, 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 boom. They knock it off. Make it simple. Again, this is about creating that learning culture. I always have this card available and I'm always talking about it. I'm always addressing it. I'm always preaching the core values every single day. That's your number one job as a leader, an owner, whatever you are, a chef, your job is to preach the core values. I want you to think about yourself as a core value preacher from now on. You want to get up every day on that soapbox and you want to preach from the good book about your core values. You have to do it every day. You have to. You must do it. Remember, you got to turn those shoulds into a must. I know a lot of people are like, I know I should talk about my core values more. No, I must talk about my core values every day. You make it a must, it happens. Shoulds don't ever happen. And we should all over ourselves. You heard me talk about this before. I rant and rave about this. And if you think yelling and screaming and being, you know, that guy or girl that you watch in some reality TV show is the way to be a leader, you're totally wrong. Okay. Leadership is about raising people up to become their best, not tearing them down until they're afraid of their own shadow. I can tell you from personal experience that it doesn't work. My father was that kind of chef. And if you don't know my story, I grew up, I started as an apprenticeship program when I was 15, working for my dad in a kitchen. He was that kind of chef, yell, scream, throw B&B plates at you, just curse you up and down. He thought he was doing, he had that old mentality. You know, I got to break them down and build them up. It's such bullshit. Why do you want broken people working in your restaurant? Here's another thing about breaking them down, build them up. If you've ever, ever taken apart anything in your life and you put it back together and you've had an extra spare piece, a screw, a nut or something like that, and you're saying, I wonder where this goes. I'm telling you right now, you understand what break them down, build them up does. You don't know how to put them back together. Yeah, we're great at breaking people down. We are terrible at building people back up. We're terrible at it. Just terrible. Totally terrible. Totally terrible. So please, it's time to throw out old thoughts and beliefs that no longer serve us. Time to start over, start fresh, dump those old thoughts and beliefs that no longer serve us. Step number two, stop making excuses. The only thing standing between you and the restaurant and the life that you truly want is the bullshit excuses you keep telling yourself why you can't have it. You got to stop. There's a big game that all restaurant, well, most restaurant managers and leaders play until they understand that they're playing it. It's called the blame and shame game. Okay. It's a game you want to stop playing immediately. You must take 100% accountability for where your restaurant is. Let me share a little story with you about where the title for my first book came from. I was working with a client and he was kind of going on this rampage about all the things that were wrong with his restaurant. You know, his cook sucked, his server sucked, his guests sucked, his market sucked, his location sucked. He went on and on and on and on and on. And when he finally stopped, I said to him calmly, you know, if your restaurant sucks, it's because you suck running it. Now, honestly, for a second, he was a pretty big guy too. I thought he was going to punch me in the face. I could see the anger building up inside of him. And then something amazing happened. He took a deep breath. He let it out. He sat back in his chair and he said to me calmly, you know, you're right. This is all my fault. And it was after that, that he had this moment of clarity that we were able to get to work and really get him the restaurant that he wanted. Step number three, it's time to separate your A players from your C players. Here's a simple exercise I want you to do. I want you to get a piece of paper. Do it now. Get a piece of paper out and draw a line down the middle, right down the middle. On the left side, write down all your A players. And on the right side, write down all your C players. Now to help you out, let me give you the definitions. An A player brings their A game 90% of the time, where a B player brings their A game around 75% of the time. And a C player, they're like a roller coaster. One week, they're great. I mean, you just can't praise them enough. They're awesome. And you're so happy to have them there. And then the next week, they're like a hot mess. You're like, what the hell happened? Who is this person? And then just when you're about to let them go, they seem to pull some magic rabbit out of their hat and they're back on top of things. The problem with C players is that they're never consistent and you cannot depend on them. Here's the thing. Hashtag write this down. If you cannot depend on them, they have no place on your team. If you cannot depend on people, if you do not trust people, they have no place on your team. Be honest with yourself about this list. Fair warning, I would say caution. You're going to get emotional about some of your C players. You're going to try to rationalize and make excuses for them. See, that's part of the problem. You're defending them. There's kind of like an internal dialogue you're going to have inside your head. And I'm going to tell you exactly what it's like. You know, you're going to ask yourself some questions. And yes, you have some C players on your team right now that are dragging your brand into the ground. No, you do not have an obligation to keep C players. Yes, that might mean running short staff, but with the new COVID-19 economy, you probably want to start with a smaller staff anyway, and then rebuild your team as volume picks up, as business picks up, as you start expanding your menu. No, you're not going to fail because you let the dead wood go to another restaurant. I always call this kind of like legal sabotage. Anytime I've let someone go who is a C player and allowed them to go down the street, work for my competition, I kind of look at that as legal sabotage. I'm letting them go to a place that they're gonna have the problems I would have had. And I'd rather have another restaurant have the problems than have me have the problems. And yes, your A players are going to love you for getting rid of the slackers. Here's another thing. Hashtag write this down. A players do not like C players. And C players do not like A players. The reason being, A players hate the C players because they're slackers and they always have to do the work. C players hate the A players because they're always making them look bad. The people who complain the most are usually your C players. A players usually don't complain. They just do their job. But when you let go that C player, I mean, they're the first to come up and go, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I got tired of picking up the slack for that guy or girl. So please be honest with yourself about your A players and your C players. Being a leader really means stepping up and making tough decisions that no one else wants to make. That's the problem a lot of managers have. They want the title. They want the fancy title. You know, they want the executive chef on their coat. They want the general manager title. But they're not prepared to do what a leader must do when times get tough. I've seen this over and over again. I have clients that had to make some drastic decisions and changes because they had that person, which is they wanted the title, but they weren't willing to do what a leader really does, and that's lead. Be very careful about giving out titles without backing them up with performance. You want to be very, very careful of that. Step number four, you want to recruit like your life depends on it. And you know why? Because your life does depend on it. Recruiting is a lot like searching for gold. You have to dig through a lot of dirt to find a gold nugget. But once you find one, you got to treat it for what it is. It's freaking gold. Let me give you a quick definition between placing ads and recruiting. Placing ads, which probably 100% of the restaurants do. Placing ads on the internet or social media is passive. It's like playing defense only. Recruiting is active. This is where you take initiative and go on the offense to find top talent. You want to spend 80% of your time recruiting and only 20% on job placement. When you're recruiting, you're actively on like LinkedIn, Indeed. You're looking at resumes. You're looking at profiles. You're looking at people's kind of background. And then you're sending out messages to them. Hey, I saw your profile on LinkedIn. Very impressive. I'm not sure if you're looking to make a change, but I'm looking to add some top talent to my team. And I was just wondering if you had like 5-10 minutes to talk. That's recruiting. You're being aggressive. You're taking the offense. You're going to them and saying, hey, I saw your stuff. It looks pretty good. You want to talk? Remember, the whole thing about recruiting is just getting a conversation. You're not going to recruit someone to your place with this amazing job ad because, you know, this doesn't talk about your culture, talk about your values. You just want to, recruiting is all about just getting the get them on the phone, getting an interview and face-to-face so you can really get down to who they are. That's what the purpose of it is. And then final, step five, change the one thing that you know you can change in your restaurant today. Change the one thing you can change. And you know what that is. You know where I'm going. It's you. You know it's you. It's your habits. It's your mindset. It's your attitude. It's your belief about your team and all the things that you must change if you want to attract an A team, if you want to do it fast in 90 days too. Hashtag write this down. I said it before. Restaurants get better when the people in them become better people. Write that down. Live it. Restaurants get better when the people in them become better people. Becoming the employer of choice, it's not a nice thing, okay? It's a requirement. Especially a requirement now if you want to be the preferred kind of brand in your market and if you really want to attract top talent. Again, remember, A talent doesn't want to work for a C-level culture. You have to. And if you don't start raising your game, developing your culture, changing your attitude, your beliefs, the way you lead, if you do not start creating a better culture for your restaurant, here's what's going to happen. If you don't do it, and I mentioned this before, you're screwed. Stop fighting with your team. Again, remember, do we have a war with talent or a war for talent? I think we have a war with talent. I think we're fighting with our team too much. We're making them the adversary. We're making them the bad guys. It's no. There's a great quote I love. You can hashtag write this down. If there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm. It's not you against them. It's not, you know, managers against hourlies. It's not day staff versus night staff. It's not front of house versus back of house. Best thing you can ever do, drop all those bullshit terms. It's you as a unit, as a team, working together to fight off the competition that's down the street that's trying to steal your market share, that's trying to steal your staff. That's the real competition. So stop all this BS about day staff versus night staff. It happens in every goddamn restaurant. Stop this BS. No day staff, night staff, no front house, back house. Culinary team, service team, we are one team. There's a great thing. When I was in Air Force, I don't know if you know my backstory, I was in Air Force pararescue teams. We had a great saying, one team, one fight. There were people on my pararescue team, honest to God, I swear, I could not stand some of them. They're assholes. But here's the thing. And we have a misconception about teamwork. We think that we have to like everyone on our team, man. We have to be buddies and we have to all get together and hug and sing kumbaya. That's a bunch of bullshit. You don't have to. What you have to do is you have to trust your team and you have to respect the person on your team. I can tell you that honestly about my pararescue team. There's guys on that team, like I said, there's guys I didn't like. I didn't want to go out and hang with them off, you know, off duty and have a beer. But I know this, when the shit hit the fan, I trusted every one of them to have my back and to protect them, to protect me, and I would protect them with my life. That is what teamwork's about. It's not about liking each other, it's about trusting each other and also just having that confidence that they know what they're doing and they're going to do their job. You got to get to that point. Another thing we talked about earlier, and I want to emphasize this about the culture part, focus more on the team experience instead of the guest experience. When you focus on this, I'm telling you, it's going to change. And again, I mentioned this before, write this stuff down. Most restaurants have the formula backwards. Creating an exceptional team experience creates an exceptional guest experience. Most restaurants, they flip this thing. They focus 8% on the guest experience, maybe 20% on the team experience. In the new economy, you have to flip that upside down. Create an exceptional team experience, and your guest experience will be exceptional too. I'm going to leave you with one thought-provoking question. How can you lead others if you can't lead yourself? You can't. Leadership starts with you. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to do three things. Hashtag write these down. I want you to decide, commit, and succeed. When you're truly committed, when you make a real decision, and by the way, decision comes from the Latin word decere, which actually means to cut off like an incision. When you make a true decision, there's no other options. If you want to change your culture and finally get the restaurant you want, you have to have the mindset where you're willing to burn the boats. What do I mean by burn the boats? Take a trip back in time with me to 1519. There was a Spanish explorer and conquistador named Hernando Cortez. And he decided that he wanted to seize the treasure that the Aztecs have been hoarding for hundreds of years. So he took 500 soldiers, 100 sailors, and he took 11 ships, and he landed on the shores of the Yucatan. Now, despite having a large army under his control, he was really vastly outnumbered by the number of the Aztecs had, because that empire had been thriving for 600 years. Now, on the voyage over, some of his men were not convinced this was a good idea. In fact, they heard stories that, you know, the Aztecs don't take prisoners. They actually sacrifice them to their gods. They'll cut their hearts out and sacrifice them to their gods. And that made a couple of his people a little nervous about this whole kind of endeavor about taking on and conquering and kicking ass on the Aztecs. So some of his men decided, you know what? We should go back and grab a couple of the boats just in case this thing doesn't work out. Now, Cortez found out about this plot, captured the ringleaders, and then he wanted to make sure that the remainder of his men were totally committed to his mission. And he did something totally insane to his people. He told them to burn the boats, scuttle the boats, sink them. His philosophy was this: if we're going to go home, we're going to go home in new ships. The path forward for Cortez was clear. It was all or nothing, 100% commitment. The option of failure was gone. They either conquered as heroes or they died. That's what I want you to do. I want you to have this kind of level of commitment to building your culture that you are willing to go to those extreme levels. You are willing to push yourself past any kind of barriers you thought you had before. I really want you to push yourself forward. And here's the big thing. Write these words down. I want you to burn the boats. It's time to get the restaurant and the life you want by hiring A talent only. from now on in the new economy, you want to focus, I only hire A talent. I'm not settling for C players anymore. Do not settle. When you raise your standards, your life changes. I'm just telling you now. And I want to say thanks for sitting in on this session. I hope I've given you plenty of things to think about and some action items that you can actually start implementing today. Remember that words without action are useless. Do yourself, do your restaurant a favor, and become a person of action. If you have any questions, you can always email me at donald@therestaurantcoach.com.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.therestaurantcoach.com or download episodes at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify.